When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another prediction show, a Stephanie Chase prediction show here on Fightful. And today we are talking about WWE Bad Blood. They have brought the Bad Blood name back. And who better to join me than from the NWA podcast over on Post Wrestling, Nate Milton. Hello, Nate. How are you doing?
Stephanie Chase. I'm glad. To be able to join you this morning, man, you know, because you know I got mad love for you, Stephanie Chase, hoping that it doesn't turn negative here during the course of this prediction show. But for those that may not know, you mentioned the NWA podcast. If you haven't checked out last month's episode, the September episode, check it out because Stephanie Chase was a trooper, ladies and gentlemen, stayed with us for the whole 5+ hours. Of the Nubian wrestling advocates over at Post Wrestling, man. And so, you know, not many people are built for that kind of life on these podcast streets, Steph. But the fact that you stayed the whole time, you know, you earned some respect from the advocates, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was nearly 6 hours, but it flew by. Like I didn't know the endurance that I had and I needed to be put to the test, you know, because I think before we did it, I was like, I think I can do 2 hours of talking, but like we were hitting that 6 hour mark. And I was like, no, like we can keep going. We can keep discussing. Like it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, guys, like check that out. If you have 5 to 6 hours to spare and you need something to listen to, like, and you guys go that long all the time. So it wasn't just me. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, this woman coming on and making you guys sit there for 6 hours.
And I think it started as just something that naturally happened. Like, I think it was maybe one of our WrestleMania shows. And so, like, the WrestleMania shows, we got 2 nights to cover. So it's going to go long. And we ended up going like 6 hours. And I don't know why. I don't know what compels Ray and Chris and Andrew Thompson, the youngest in charge, to continue to push for that. At least, like, if we do a show that ends under 4 hours, I feel like they're disappointed. So now we've set a standard for ourselves that we are forced to adhere to. So you're going to get at least 4 hours every month from the NWA podcast. But if you look at it, Steph, you can just break it up. Just listen to an hour a week, and by the end of the month, you'll probably be finished with the episode.
I was going to say that you guys do the Tony Khan thing. Like you go long and you give more, but maybe like you could, cause you're only doing it once a month. You could like take what the Triple H route now, and you could be like splitting it up. Like, you know, we're getting 2 nights of SummerSlam. You know, we could be getting 2 3-hour NWA podcasts, but.
And I think, so somebody asked, there was a listener that asked, like, hey, guys, why don't you just do, you know, twice a month or 4 times a month? And we can't, A, because, like, trying to, you know, Steph, trying to get 4 people on 4 different work schedules aligned, it's a nightmare. But then the other thing is, yes, in theory, if we did 4 shows a month, each show would only maybe be 90 minutes long. But that's not how it works, ladies and gentlemen. Each of those 4 shows would be like 2.5-3 hours long. So it's like, no, there's no economy of time when you're out here talking this wrestling stuff with the fellas. So I think for now we're just going to stick with one a month. That's what we can do. You're going to get 5, 6, 7. I think we went 7 hours one time, which is just insane. Like, we had people getting up, going to work that started watching before they went to bed and were getting up, going to work. It's just insane. We know it's irresponsible as podcasters, but hey, if people are willing to be up at 3 a.m. on the East Coast listening to us talk about AEW, then we'll appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's irresponsible. You're clearly giving the people what they want. But what the people want in WWE is the return of Bad Blood. Nate, is Bad Blood your favorite Taylor Swift song? Is it in the top 5?
So Bad Blood is great. You know, shout out to all the Swifties out there, man. Bad Blood, especially the Kendrick Lamar remix. That's a great one. But I think my favorite Taylor Swift song would have to be, well, Anti-Hero is good too. Like, it's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me. AKA Phil Brooks' mantra in life. But I think my favorite Taylor Swift song had to be Shake It Off, Steph. Just something about the groove, man. And let's Shake It Off. Like, I'm not even a huge Taylor Swift fan. Like, I'm like a mild Swiftie, I guess you could say. But Shake It Off, if that comes on in the car when I'm going to work, or if it comes on my Spotify shuffle, I'm like, okay, I can rock with this for a minute.
Yeah. I would say I'm a mild Swiftie as well. I think my favorite would be, probably like the opposite of like Shake It Off. I like You're On Your Own, Kid. You know, like, it's kind of sad and good. I like kind of the folklore stuff. I would say mild Swiftie. I don't think I'd put Bad Blood like up there. I think I'd rather just listen to Kendrick than hear him, you know, with Taylor Swift, but
well, so like the Bad Blood remix to me, it's kind of like, you know, back in the day when your mom or dad would need you to take medicine, sometimes they would mix it in with something good, like applesauce, or put it in a peanut butter jelly sandwich or something like that. To me, like Taylor Swift is like the medicine, but Kendrick is the delivery system that gets me to listen to that song, because I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stay here for Kenny's verse. So I guess I'll listen to you, Taylor, about how you used to have mad love for this person who may or may not have been Katy Perry, and now you got Bad Blood. So I'll listen to it.
Look, Taylor thought she had beef with Katy Perry, and then Kendrick was like, I'll show you what beef is. I
think that's what's going on. Yeah, Katie, I'm sorry that man is your father.
Well, guys, we are going to move on from the Taylor Swift chat, and we are going to talk about WWE Bad Blood. We're going to predict the show, this 5-match card that is happening. We're going to get into all of it, and like, there's one performer in this card that Nate is a true advocate for, so get ready, guys. So we want to know as well what you think are going to happen in the matches, so send in those chats, send in those super chats. But before we get into it, we are going to hear from our wonderful sponsors at Bet Online via our overlord, Sean Ross Sapp. So here we go.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling?
Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Wow. So now, shout out to SRS, Steph, but now I feel a weight. We talked about responsible podcasting. Now I feel a weight of responsibility that I didn't have 5 minutes ago, because now people putting their money on what I'm about to tell them, what you about to tell them. So we got to come correct with these predictions so these people can make some money on these streets with Bet Online.
That's true. That's true. Let's get into it. You know, we were just talking about Kendrick being the GOAT, but let's start off with with another goat that's going to get involved in the match, because we have a match on Bad Blood where we're going to see Dominic Mysterio suspend. Did you think I was going with Dominic with the goat thing? But I was. Suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Will he have his WWE toilet paper with him? Who knows? And it is Liv Morgan, the women's champion, versus Rhea Ripley. Nate, do you want to kick us off with your thoughts on Dirty Dom and Liv, the homewrecker, and Rhea Ripley here?
Yes, let's kick it off here. Bad Blood 2024 coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Capital of the Dirty South, Steph. So here's the thing. We talked about this match on the NWA podcast when you were on last month. And we all had a bunch of different opinions because there's a lot of different ways you could continue to tell this story. I've had some time to think about this match since we talked last month, and I've changed my prediction because I think at the time I predicted Liv was going to win to continue the storyline. I believe I gave the analogy of Tom and Jerry. Nobody turns on Tom and Jerry to see Tom get Jerry immediately. They tune in to see Jerry evade Tom. And that's Liv Morgan in this crazy convoluted example. I believe that Rhea wins here. You know, we got Dom in the shark cage, an old school gimmick. He's going to drop something in the ring because that's nobody frisked the people before they get in these shark cages, Steph. Like, I don't know why these officials aren't doing their job correctly, but he's going to drop something in the ring trying to help Liv. It's going to backfire. I believe Rhea is going to win this match because if Survivor Series were closer, I think you could maybe squeeze another month out of this, Steph. But it's damn near 2 months till Survivor Series, and I don't think this program, as fun as it's been, has enough legs. So give me Rhea Ripley for the dub, and Liv and her can move on to different things.
I think that the feud has kind of run its course, but I don't feel them dropping it just yet. I think that with Dom being in the cage, I think we might get someone else. That is helping out Liv Morgan's cause. Maybe Raquel, an old foe of Rhea. You know, it feels like they're hinting towards Finn Balor and Liv having like a secondary plan, like someone else to come in this war against Damian and Rhea. And I think it makes sense that it's a woman. So. I think that Liv's going to win. It's going to be interesting to see Dominic in the cage. Do you have a favorite shark cage moment? Because I think of China when it was Triple H and Owen Hart, and she like pulled the bars apart and she like climbed down and like jumped into the ring. Like, that was awesome. I don't think Dom's capable of any of that. I think that, like, I just wonder how he's going to be in the cage. If he's going to be like kind of cowering in the corner and he's scared because he's like scared of heights and he's claustrophobic. I don't think they're going to play it like they did with China, where she was just really menacing and just like ready to break out at every time. Like, I don't think Dominic's got that in him. But do you have any good shark cage memories?
I mean, the China one is top tier. Like, salute to China, RIP. She didn't get her proper due when she was with us. But like, of course, if you want to go old school, Jim Cornette was probably one of the pioneers of the slimy manager in the shark cage matches back with the Midnight Express back in the day. But here's one that I think flew under the radar, and I think this is probably going to be closer to what Dom does in this match. There was and I want to say it was TNA, a Gail Kim, Mickie James match. It was either Gail Kim, Mickie James, or Victoria Tara, Mickie James. And Madison Rayne was stuck in the shark cage. And Madison Rayne, like, she ain't want to be in the shark cage. Like, she was like Baby Joker on Next Friday, no more locked doors. But eventually she was able to get something down into the ring to help her charge. And so I think it's going to be Dom's role in this. Like, he's going to be scared. He's going to be playing the little punk, you know, heel trapped in the cage. But his love, because this is a love story. This is a mad love story, Steph. His love for his girl, Liv, is going to give him the courage to stand up on his own two feet and try to slip a foreign international object into the ring, which is going to backfire if you go by my prediction.
Yeah, let's not forget that Dom has been in prison. So he probably knows how to sneak something in. So he could have a file or something to take those bars down. Like, who knows what he could get in there to the shark cage to help out Liv.
Anything is possible with this man, Dirty Dominic Mysterio, on these streets. The GOAT, as you have called him.
GOAT. Dirty Dom. I do love him. It's
what a glow up. What a glow up for this dude that, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago, was just like some bland second, third generation wrestler. And now he's like got this amazing character. People are into it. Like, they won't let this brother get a word of his promo out. They're so viscerally upset by his mere presence. Like, salute to Dom Mysterio, man.
I know. He's got the real heat. He's got the real heat. Let's keep on the Judgment Day, because we have Damian Priest versus Finn Balor in a singles match. Now this one, I feel like, so I've said that I think that Liv is going to win when it comes to her and Rhea, but this one, like, I think Damian Priest has to win this one. Because Finn is, I probably said this, but there was a point in time when Finn was my favorite wrestler in the world, but that was way back in Japan. That was another time. That was another person. And I don't think that he, the past couple of years, has been very consistent with his delivery in big matches. So I really do hope, like, he turns it on, like, for Damian Priest. But Damian has been doing really good with this character and this, you know, quite Undertaker-esque, just big guy coming in destroying things. And I think that if him and Rhea are going to get one over on the Judgment Day, I think it's more likely that Damian, like, crushes Finn here. But how do you feel about this one, Nate?
Damian Priest needs this more.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor, in my opinion, even though you do want to keep the Judgment Day as a stable, strong, which is why maybe Liv retains, to your earlier point. But Damian needs this more. I think they need to continue to rehab him after the loss of the title. Plus, Finn's got tag team titles that he never gives a damn about defending. Like, why don't we do something about that, my boy? Why don't we do something about these titles that you do have and let Damian Priest go about his business? So we might get the Terra Twins split, where, like, one wins, one loses. And if that's the case, then I agree, Damian Priest gets the dub here.
Yeah, I think so too. I do think he needs it more. And I think that there's just more investment in keeping Damian a strong character with everything that he proved during that title run than there is with Finn. Like, he's more the guy out of the two of them. Okay, are you ready to talk about Nia Jax versus Queen Nia for the WWE Women's Championship? Now, I know if you were booking the show, it would be the main event, but I don't think they're going on last minute. But you can kick this one off with Nia Jax versus Bayley.
So this is the reason I woke up this morning to talk to you, Stephanie Chase, because, you know, not just to speak to my friend, not just to talk about this historic card, you know, Bad Blood, we bringing it back for the first time in a minute, but I woke up this morning to spread the gospel. I know it's not Sunday morning, it's a Thursday morning, but I woke up to spread the gospel of Nia Jax on these streets, because I feel like too many people have underestimated, have disparaged, have slandered the good name of our queen, Nia Jax. You know, John Amos, rest in peace, famously of Good Times, but also was in the 80s classic Coming to America, recently passed. And one of my favorite scenes in Coming to America was when they were doing, like, the first coronation. Spoiler alert, there's more than one coronation in Coming to America, or at least attempted coronation. And the singer is there, and he's just like, "She's your queen to be." That's what I hear in my head, Stephanie Chase, every time Nia Jax steps on the screen. You know, we talked about the glow up for Dom Mysterio. How about the glow up for Nia Jax, man? This is somebody that people was criticizing, saying she ain't had no character, saying she couldn't wrestle, saying, you know, she was not a compelling presence on the screen. And now, like, since she has returned, I would argue this has been the best stretch of Nia's career. Not only with her character work, but with, Like her in-ring, like her in-ring's never going to be top tier, but she does enough, you know, with what she's got to become a believable, incredible, imposing figure in that ring. Which brings us back to this match. So there's a couple things going on here. Obviously, we've got Bayley. You know, we all love and respect Bayley, but like I told you on the NWA podcast, Bayley's title run did nothing for me. I felt like it was underwhelming. I think Bayley would tell you that it was underwhelming for what it should have been. Bayley's not winning here. Like, there's why? For what? For who? Mm-hmm. Bayley's not winning here because the real story is a story between Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. So I believe Nia Jax wins here. Maybe Tiffany gets involved. Maybe Naomi feeling some kind of way because she didn't get this opportunity. She gets involved, but Nia wins. Now, what happens in the post-match is I think what most people are keyed in on here. I do not think we get a cash-in step. And the reason I don't think we get a cash-in here is because it's not time. Tiffany Stratton ain't no damn babyface, man. Like, and if she is a babyface, it's a babyface by proxy. It's a babyface just because we like you better than we like her. And then we end up with a champion who's in the same spot as Bayley was. Like, yeah, we had a great night. We had a fun moment. But now what the hell are you going to do? Because you've got this mismanaged figure here in this role. So I think if you really want this cash in to hit, you got to give me a reason. You got to give me a reason to sympathize and empathize with Tiffany Stratton. Like Kendrick Lamar once said, why believe you? You never gave us nothing to believe in. You know, they got to make me believe, make me want to root for this girl, Tiffany Stratton. And right now, yes, granted I'm biased, Stephanie, but ain't no reason to root for this girl over the queen, man. Nia Jax out here on these streets grinding, putting in work, putting butts in seats, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we came to see. Bad Blood, Nia Jax. It ain't the main event on the card. It won't be the one that opens the show or closes the show, but it's going to be the main event in my heart. Nia Jax wins. Go ahead, look. Go to BetOnline right now. Put everything you got on Nia Jax winning because it's going to happen. That's not a spoiler. That's not a prediction. That's a fact of life, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! You done got me hyped up on a Thursday morning. I'm testifying. I'm preaching. Somebody pass the collection plate. Hit the super chat button for Nia Jax one time, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, well, we have a super chat here from Will Chisholm. It's not about Nia Jax, though, but Will says, my theory is Raquel helps Liv win. They do Rhea versus Raquel at Saudi, and then they do Team Liv versus Team Rhea War Games. Thank you for that, Will. I do agree that Raquel helps Liv win. I'm not sure if they've got enough within that storyline to create a War Games women's
That's an intriguing idea, but I don't think so. Are they going to get the Pure Fusion New Power Generation Collective to join them?
Pure Fusion. Look, if I'm going to defend someone passionately, it will probably be Sonya Deville.
I love myself from Sonya Deville.
That was a wonderful defense of Nia Jax. But, you know, I totally agree that this run that she's on, like, I don't even think that she needs defending anymore because I think she's really proven herself. I think that, as she said, she's never going to be the best in-ring worker. Like, that's not what Nia is here for. But I think when they initially had her, they never gave her a character They just used her as someone that was, you know, bigger than the other women. And because her matches weren't that great, it just all didn't really click. And then she came back and she's been so good. Like, she's found it and they've used her properly. And I do like this, what she has going on here with Tiffany. I do not think Tiffany's cashing in. Like, I agree. I think it's partly because, this story isn't right yet. It's not time. We haven't had enough of this period and seen what they can do. I think it's also a bit of capitalism to sell some briefcases at Christmas. You know, they've made those Barbie, like, Polly Pocket briefcases, you know, for Tiffany. Mm-hmm. And I think they want to sell those. So I that's why I think she's going to hold it for a long time, just, you know, so they can get those out along with the Dominic toilet paper. So I don't see her cashing in. And Bayley, we did talk about it on the NWA podcast more in depth, that her title reign was just not anything special. It was just felt like a real kind of gold watch moment of like, yeah, you deserve you deserve this, rather than, you know, we have a great plan for this. And I don't think that Bayley winning and us just going back to Bayley being champion would do favors for anyone, for any women in the division, even someone like Naomi that's been like circling around this. I'm not sure that like Bayley being champion is as interesting in that scenario than Nia Jax being champion with Tiffany by her side. So I think there's no way that Nia, Queen Nia, is leaving Atlanta without her championship. So I agree. Put it all on Nia Jax.
Mm, you heard it here first. I'm telling you, last point. Actually, it probably won't be the last point, because I'm sure at some point I'll be able to bring this back around to Nia Jax, Steph, at some point in the
room. I can keep going.
but here's the thing, man. Like, and this is no disrespect to Bayley, but it's like, yes, we all love the bell-to-bell stuff, but to me, the bigger part of enjoyment in a wrestling show is, are you giving me a story, man? Because I can get good wrestling anywhere. Like, I can turn on, like, I'm watching this on YouTube right now. Technically, I'm not watching. I'm, like, part of this. But later on, I'll go back and watch. But I can go on YouTube right now, Steph, and, like, put on a dozen matches, like, 100 matches, not even exaggerating, that are bell-to-bell amazing. From the past 2 or 3 years, I can get good matches anywhere. Give me a story. Give me something to believe in. Give me something to sink my teeth into. And like just the interaction this past week on SmackDown, where we start to get a little bit more of the layers of Nia and Tiffany's relationship, where it's like, oh, we thought Tiffany was trying to set Nia, but now Nia's like turning on a little bit of that abusive boss, that abusive friend. Like, hey, she's kind of like Tupac in the movie Juice at this point, if you remember that great classic from the 90s. So, like, I'm loving the dynamic between the two. I think, again, we need to see a reason to cheer for Tiffany Stratton. And so, like, the more of a bully Nia becomes to her underling, to her minion, to use a ROH term, you know, we want to see Nia get that comeuppance. And the only way we get that is through seeing more abuse hoisted and heaped upon Tiffany Stratton. So I'm here for this storyline. Bayley will have her due at some point, because Bayley's great, man. We all love Bayley. Naomi as well. But this right here, we living in the midst of the Queen's time, Stephanie Chase. Yeah.
Scott says here, they had a month to sell the briefcase and stuff. I just looked it up. They don't ship till Monday the 4th of November, right? So the people haven't received their briefcases yet. They're not giving that up.
not before Christmas.
No, not before Christmas. But yeah, I just think that there's more to tell between these two. There's more of a relationship. What's really going on? Like, what are the intentions? And frankly, like, it's been a really good pairing. It's been good for Nia to have someone to bounce off, like, that's very different from her. And I think it's totally worked so far. So we both have Queen Nia. I was going to ask you before we get to the final two matches, what do you think about Bianca and Jade being the host of Bad Blood, the role of the host in this show?
It's cool. You know, it's cool, I guess. Like, I love Bianca. I love Jade. I wish there was something for them to do on this show in terms of in-ring. Well, I guess technically they'll probably be in the ring at some point as the host. Somebody's got to sell these damn prime sports drinks. But I think that it's interesting, like, because that tells me that they want this to be something of an event, right? Like, all of these things are events, but we know, man. We know there's, like, tier levels. There's levels to these damn shows. And I think maybe some people were coming into Bad Blood, even though, like, this is kind of historic because it's the first one in the minute. But I think they're like, oh, I can skip Bad Blood, man. It's only 5 matches. It ain't, you know, it ain't WrestleMania. It ain't Survivor Series. It ain't SummerSlam. I can skip it. Putting Bianca and Jade as the host of this gives it a little bit more gravitas. That maybe this is going to be something that, you know, sneaks into your top tier or maybe your upper mid-card tier of PLEs going forward. So I'm happy Bianca and Jade getting a paycheck on these streets, man. So they're great. They need to figure out better ways to utilize them. The women's tag team division is still kind of still kind of, but I love Bianca and Jade.
Yeah, I love Bianca and Jade too. And I think you're right that they're trying to elevate what Bad Blood is. Like back in the day, they used to put the words "in your house" on these pay-per-view names. So we knew that they weren't going to be like the top tier. But I think that I would like to see that. I would like to maybe see something happen with them on the show and another tag team just at some point, like some interaction that kind of sets something up or something. So they're not just there as, you know, like the host kind of, happy-go-lucky hosts or something, when like really they should be like, why, you know, why aren't we wrestling here? Like, we need people to step up, you know, something like that. So I'd like to see it, but yeah, I'm happy they're getting a payday as well. I think that's really good. Now we have two matches left, but everyone is talking about which of these matches should go on last. Mm-hmm. So Nate, I'm gonna throw it to you. Whatever match you think shouldn't go on last, we'll talk about now. So, do you want CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre or Cody and Roman versus the Bloodline?
It hurts my heart to say this, Steph, because as anybody that's listened to me over the last 2 or 3 years knows, I love that man Cody Devontae Rhodes. He is Devontae in this house. You know, he is my world champion. But we got to talk about Cody and Roman versus the Bloodline, because ain't no way that's main event. I mean, there is a way it could main event, but to me, you don't build up Bad Blood with the Hell in a Cell and not have that be a main event.
I think I'm still not sure who's gonna be, just because you know Roman's got the power, right? Yes. And you know Roman's got the connections, you know.
So I think they open, because to me it's like, If you're not the main event, then the next best spot is opening, so that way you can get back to the hotel. So I feel like Cody, Roman, and the Bloodline open the show, like give us a hot opening, and then Punk and Drew close out the show. At least that's my prediction.
To me, it's so hard because Punk and Drew, and like this has been a long feud. Mm-hmm. They put the work in, and it's been a feud that has to come in something like Bad Blood, right, where it has to go all out violence. But then Cody is, you know, there's like a mega powers element here to like, yes, Cody and Roman, like, because they're such,
and we are in Atlanta.
Yeah. And Roman has been away for a while, and like this is a big deal. So it's almost kind of like unfortunate that these two are on like the same show, because they could have sold different, you know, shows based on this.
Yeah.
But even the name being like Bad Blood, it feels like it should be Punk and Drew. And I think that if it isn't Punk and Drew, this might be the moment that Phil like finally cracks.
Hide the muffins.
We don't get nice guy Phil anymore, because I could see him being pissed off. But I think I would put Punk and Drew on last and maybe like open with this. But okay, so Cody and Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. Who have you got for this one? I think we spent a long time talking about it earlier in the month. Has your opinion changed on what needs to happen?
I think I'm still in the same place. I know Chris yelled at all of us for having even the thought that Cody and Roman could lose this match. I am going to go with Cody and Roman winning, with Roman pinning Solo. Because my whole theory behind this is Solo's not the guy, right? Like, Solo is what he is. Solo is your number one goon. And your number one goon isn't always your mob boss, or even, you know, the secondary boss in the crew. So if we're looking at this from a, again, storyline, big picture perspective, who's really running this Bloodline? It's your boy DJ. It's the man Dwayne The Rock Johnson on these streets. And DJ is not, you know, he's not out here accepting failure, you know, except for Black Adam's box office. But we're not going to talk about that, Steph. So DJ is going to see Solo lose and be like, hey, you ain't the dude, man. You ain't the dude. You can still be on the team, brother, maybe, but you ain't the dude. And this leads to the further ascent of Jacob Fatu, in my estimation. Plus, it's really hard to have Roman Reigns lose in his first match back. It's really hard for your world champion to lose in his hometown, even though that is a WWE trope. Yeah, you've got the crutch you can lean on of can they coexist? But nah, man, give me Devontae and our boy Roro on these streets for the win with Solo taking the pin.
I think Solo is definitely the fall guy for Solo. But yeah, I agree that it's Dwayne is running the show, right? Dwayne's in charge. So I think what would be good here is if Roman or Cody, but probably Roman pin Solo Sikoa, and then giving that like babyface victory against the Bloodline would be good. But then I think we need something to happen where it shows that, yeah, Dwayne is the guy in charge. It was never Solo. Solo is carrying out Dwayne's orders. Dwayne is now pissed. And that's just going to lead to more trouble for Roman and Cody because they've upset him. And then Jacob can take like the more prominent role in the faction. But he's not even Jacob is the leader. It's Dwayne. Do you think there's any chance Dwayne comes to Atlanta?
I mean, Atlanta is a hot city, man. Like, you know, I'm sure Dwayne has had many, many lemon pepper wings at Magic City. In my fair city, I'm claiming it, even though I live in Virginia. Atlanta is the city of my birth. You see the team in the background. Go Falcons, rise up! Salute to my Braves that lost in the playoffs, man. We fought hard this year. I don't know what the hell the Hawks is doing drafting all these French cats, man. But we still gonna find a way to win, Steph Chase. But back to your question, which had nothing to do with Atlanta sports. I don't think we get a DJ. Surprise. It would be great, though. Like, it would be great if DJ did show up. But I don't think we get a DJ appearance. If anything, maybe we get something by video.
The voice of God, like, coming in.
Well, it's like, and I made the joke on the NWA podcast. It's like the end credits, like with Thanos. It's just like, fine, I'll do it myself. Like, he's like, man, Solo is a sucker. Jacob, you need to get your boy up out the paint. Come back on Friday, and I got new marching orders for the Bloodline. So I think ultimately this does lead to Dwayne's involvement. I don't know how present, though, Steph, he's going to be from both a physical standpoint, like actually in these arenas, or from the standpoint of is it going to be more, you know, via tape or via social media? Like, how is this character going to interact with the story going forward?
Marvel's end credit style thing would be so cool. And because they did the thing on the football field, like Roman and Cody, that was very,
that was amazing.
Very cinema. Like, and, you know, part of me wants to hate it because of like, just, you know, being produced and like, you know, like so not real. But then the other part of me is like, this is pretty cool as well. And if this
the part, Steph, sorry to cut you off, but the part where Roman's like, you're in my way, and Cody moves out the way, and he's like, you're in my way of life. It's like, oh, cinema. Roman Reigns, this man Joe Anawai, get that man a primetime Emmy. He is out here giving y'all cinema, serving up the acting skills, ladies and gentlemen. Like, yes, it was overproduced, Steph, but it was different, and it was kind of cool. And I think lesser talents than Roman and Cody might not have been able to pull it off, but those two dudes, like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they pulled it off. And I just do think that if this show kind of ended and we cut to The Rock, like, you know, watching it, like, I don't know, like switching off the TV in his mansion and then like putting on his belt or something, like he's ready to go, you know, take care of business, like something like that. Like, there would be an element of, okay, this is kind of corny or whatever, but this storyline that has been going on for so long with the Bloodline and then the injection of Dwayne into it and everything else, this is a cinema storyline. If you're going to go big and over the top for anything, I would do that. But if this
would be amazing,
I'm just thinking of him like, what is it? It's tequila he makes, right? Tequila.
Okay. Hold on, Steph. Let's flesh this out. So the pay-per-view goes off. You know, we get the credits and everything, and the screen goes black, and we're like, what's going on? Then all of a sudden we get a zoom out. We're in Dwayne Johnson's private office. All we see is a glass of Terramana. Mm-hmm. We see him pick up the glass, and he's like, guess I'm going to have to do this myself. And then we see him pick up the weight belt. Woo! Chills. Like Dwayne Johnson as Dario Cueto. Like, I would love, like, a random, like, just, yes, telenovela, soap opera. Yes, it's corny. Yes, it's cheesy. I can already see some people or hear some people out there like, man, that would be corny. It would be, but it would also be amazing if Dwayne The Rock Johnson, America's greatest thespian, played the role he was always born to play, pro wrestling supervillain, like the Lex Luthor of the WWE. Let's go. Let's get it.
It would be so cool. And I mean, man, he did so well in the run-up to Mania, like being this villain. Like, it was truly his greatest role. You know, he's been off in Hollywood for so long, and he's done great, but he had to come back home and really, you know, find the role that he was born to play, and it was that version of Dwayne. So I think, though, if we sit down watching the show on Saturday and the first match is Punk and Drew, then I'm going to expect some Dwayne action at the end of the show. Like, if they're going to go on last and do this to Phil Brooks and risk rattling Phil Brooks, Dwayne better be the reason, and not just to do like a straight up tag match between them where like one of them wins and, you know, we move on. Like, there better be some like big overarching reason. I mean, at least for Phil's sake, because I don't know. I think Dwayne could maybe talk him down.
He may be the only one.
Yeah. All right. We're on it then. Our main event, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, Hell in a Cell. Perhaps, well, hopefully the end of this that has been going on for since before WrestleMania, since Punk was out injured, he kept this feud going. We've had friendship bracelets at SummerSlam. We had a strap match. And now we're getting Hell in a Cell, bringing back Bad Blood for this. I think that Bad Blood, Shawn, Undertaker, the first Bad Blood, like, that's probably my favorite match of all time. I love that match so much. I used to just watch it on repeat as a kid because I was an Undertaker girl. And I think that Punk and Drew are going to want to do something to, like, bring back what Hell in a Cell should be, because that's something that when we saw Undertaker and Shawn do it, we hadn't seen that before, and it was amazing. And then we got, like, 500 Hell in a Cell matches in the years that followed at a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I think that's something Punk would be very conscious of, that he wants to make this one different and bring it back. And I think there will be blood. There will be blood in this match. And I feel like I actually want Drew to win, but I think Punk's going to win, because I just feel like CM Punk is always, he's always going to be CM Punk. Like, no matter what, no matter what he does, he's a made man. And Drew, because we're kind of in an era where it's like harder to make guys, like this storyline has been the best thing that he's ever done. And he's coming to himself, and I would just love him to actually win it. And it would kind of go with the thought that maybe even though Drew is the bad guy, he's kind of right about a lot of stuff, even if he doesn't go about it right. I'm not confident that Drew will win, so I'm not telling you to bet on Drew. I'm just saying, if it was me, despite my love for Phil Brooks, I might give Drew the win here. What do you think, man?
So we got the Muffin Man versus the international player hater, Steph Chase. And I do think there is going to be blood. Like, there's got to be blood, man. Like, yes. There's got to be blood. Hell in a Cell, bad blood, man. But here's the thing that gives me pause, because I agree with you. They are going to try to come out here and give us a damn show. Mm-hmm. But I also know Phil Brooks is like maybe a year or two older than me. And I know the way your body starts to feel at certain points as you grow and mature as a human being. And sometimes your knees don't move the way your knees used to move, Steph. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your back don't move the way your back used to move. Your neck is not as flexible and pliable as it used to be. And this man, Phil Brooks, we've seen, Steph, has had several injuries over the past couple of years. So it's like, I want you to go out there and give us something, give us a spectacle, Phil, but don't do too much, right? Like, I need you to work smarter, not harder in this match, Muffin Man, because what good is it to have this amazing match and then you out for another 6 months, dog? So...
always the fear when he steps in the ring. And that's it's bad, but like, it's true. I mean, the Royal Rumble seems like, I mean, I've never been in a Royal Rumble, but it seems like a kind of a hard match to get hurt on, because you can take some little breaks and stuff. And he got hurt on that. And you know, when people, you know, you want realism in wrestling, there's nothing realer than as a CM Punk fan, watching him walk into the ring and praying that he doesn't get hurt and is out for another 6 months. But sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, that, like, because that's exactly, you know, reaffirming my point, Steph. Like, I feel like these guys are going to tell us a great story. Like, they have been telling us a really good story. Friendship bracelet stuff aside, that's why I thought the story started to get a little wonky. You know, but other than that, man, I thought both of these guys have been doing a great job with the build up to this. CM Punk, to me, is going to win the match. You can make an argument. You can make a case for Drew. But I feel like, again, going back to what we just talked about, Steph, who do you have more faith in that will be here a year or two from now? Drew McIntyre, all day. Not only because of the physical limitations that Phil Brooks is starting to run up against, because we know this Muffin Man, he mercurial, Steph. He might wake up one day and be like, you know what, man? I don't like the eggs at catering. They making these eggs for kids, man. You know what? I got to get out of here. He's like Ricky Bobby's daddy. If you ever seen the movie Talladega Nights, sometimes when things get too comfortable for Phil Brooks, he starts to get a little antsy, starts to get a little itchy. Like, you know what? I got to make some action happen here. I need something to happen. That Green Goblin man starts talking to him like, Norman, things are too comfortable, Norman. We need to mess some stuff up. So I feel like Phil Brooks is the less safe bet to be here in a couple years, which is why you need to maximize him while you got him. Which is why I think Phil Brooks, CM Punk, the Muffin Man on these streets, wins this match, and that sets up the eventual title program with Gunther, which I think would be amazing with the two of them. And then as for Drew, I would like for Drew to take some time off, both to sell like the effects of this grueling, gruesome match, but also I think we need – or Drew – I think Drew's done a great job since Mania, but I feel like – Drew needs a break to come back with a refreshed, either a refreshed version of this heel character or a transition back to, you know, good old babyface Drew. So I think CM Punk wins here, and Drew McIntyre gets some time off, some much needed time off, Steph.
We got a super chat here from Will Chisholm. He sends $2 to say we don't want Phil to take a dumb spot like Edge. That Adam Copeland spot, what he did, that was, I don't think Phil's as like desperate to prove himself and doing something like that. I don't think he's going to take a dumb spot like that. I think he's probably going to like lose a lot of blood. Like, he may need some help afterwards, because I think that once he's given the permission to bleed, which I believe it will be, it's going to be like, you know, Ric Flair or something, like Dusty, like just total bloodbath. But I think that Drew, I would like to see take a little break, maybe not too long, because he is like on a hot run. But once this ends, him and Punk definitely have to be separated.
Yes.
it feels like it's kind of a bit like what we see in AEW with Hangman and Swerve. I don't think that those guys should ever be able to coexist. Like, you really have to keep them very occupied with other things if they're going to be in the same like company. And WWE is in the better spot where they can just send you to another show. So whether it's, you know, Punk or Drew going to SmackDown, like, one of them has to, because these guys should not be able to just be walking around and potentially like running into each other. But Punk Gunther, that excites me. Like, that excites me. I was when I saw Seth return on Raw, and he obviously returned to take out Bronson Reed. I'm not a Seth guy, so I was like, okay, you do that. But it's obvious though that Punk wants Gunther, and maybe Punk getting in the ring with Gunther is like more dangerous for him than Bad Blood, because I think that he probably goes in with the mentality, like this old school mentality of like, yeah, I can tell a great story in the cage, I can bleed, and we can do all these things to make it really dramatic. But I think when he sees Gunther, he's like, I want to prove I can hang with Gunther. And I don't think that's the best mentality for Phil to have, given the history that we've seen. But I would be excited to see him with Gunther. Oh gosh, there's slander on Punk. Punk gets injured just breathing. Please hear me on the floor. Most of his matches trying to get out.
Wow. Disrespectful. Disrespectful to the Muffin Man.
I don't think he lacks in cardio. I think it's just like brittleness. But in fairness to him, he's been like that his whole career. It's not like he hit 40 and suddenly like became like injury prone. He's not been, you know, he's always had injuries and problems, but it does get worse with age.
And he's not a big muscly dude, right? Like he's in shape, like he's in better shape than I'll ever be, but he's not like a dude that can absorb all of this punishment because he's got this extra muscle. So and as you said, Steph, once you hit 40, see, some of y'all out there, man, that's how I could tell. Some of y'all ain't achieved, you know, the levels of prominence that people like me and CM Punk have that have crossed that threshold of being over 40, man. Because, you know, you have to readjust and recalibrate your expectations of what your body can do. Like, I got a game tonight at the stadium, like I mentioned earlier. There's about 1,700 steps to get to the top of the stadium. It's not that many, but it feels that way. And when I was a kid, Steph, because I've been working this at this stadium for like 10, 15 years. When I was a kid, you know, relatively speaking, like 25, I'd run up them steps just happy to do a game, Steph, like 2-3 steps at a time, running up the steps. Now I'm walking up slow and steady wins the race, because if I try to run up these steps at my big age, I might twist something, break something, and have to call out for the game. So CM Punk, do what you got to do, brother. Don't let these people on the internet hype you into doing something crazy like jumping off the top of Hell in a Cell. You don't need to do that to prove yourself. To who, CM Punk? For what? You ain't got to prove yourself, Phil. Don't do it, man.
Phil, be careful. My heart will be in my mouth. Be careful. But I saw his match, the match at SummerSlam Live, and I was watching it just like, you know, like so just locked in case anything happened. But no, don't be a silly Billy, Phil. Just have a really good match and bleed, but in the safest way possible as well.
Learn a lesson from your boy Adam Copeland on these streets, please.
We need you to push Larry around in his stroller like for years to come. Did you see that video? That was so cute. Get to know Larry. Oh, I mean, how can
He's a good guy, man. He's a bit honorary. Phil Brooks is a bit honorary at times, but I like the dude, man.
Yeah, me too. So we're kind of split on that one. I'm still gonna go for Drew, but you're going for CM Punk. But that's it. We've done the Bad Blood card. Those nice, easy shows that Papa H gives us. they're such a breeze to watch. That's why I just love it so much. Like, they 5-6 matches on a card, sweet. But Nia, thank you so much for joining me. Before you go, tell us all about the NWA podcast, Kings of Sport as well. Get everything out there where the people can find you.
Well, thank you for having me, Steph. It's always great to catch up with you. It's crazy because we first talked maybe 3 years ago on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, yo, this is going to be the beginning of a wonderful friendship here on these podcast streets. And we ain't talked since then. But this year, we've talked like twice in the last 3 weeks. So it's a beautiful thing to reconnect with you, Steph.
You add up the hours and it's like...
I was going to say, like... Like, in the last 3 weeks, we've talked for about 7 hours, Steph, and that's been a beautiful thing. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the invite. Salute to everybody watching here on Fightful, man. Make sure you get your picks in. Again, if you lose your money based off of my predictions, I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. These picks are for entertainment purposes only. Gamble responsibly, ladies and gentlemen. But there's one thing that is not a gamble, and that is the Kings of Sport Network, ladies and gentlemen. I've been doing the Kings of Sport show since 2013. So we're on year 11 of this project, man. It's a labor of love. We're talking about sports, politics, pro wrestling, pop culture from the perspective of fans and journalists and media members that have been covering this for a long time. And it's myself. It's Chris from LA, the professor. It's Two-Way Ray Williams. It's Andrew Thompson. It is Brittany Monet. It's Chinyere Okafor. It's Jennifer Smith. It's Steve Willey. It's Vanessa Shark. I know I'm throwing a lot of names at you. And it's the invisible hand of Marcus Vandenberg. He's like a light-skinned Don Callis. He's like, if Don Callis and El DeBarge had a baby, that's Marcus Vandenberg, just behind the scenes with the machinations of Marcus. But every month, we got at least 3 or 4 shows, whether it's the Kings of Sport proper, whether it is Spinning Black Fist, which is our MMA show hosted by Ray and Chinyere, the Avenge Hers Initiative, which is a Marvel show from a female-led perspective. We got a lot of great shows. Kung Fu Island is the latest show on the Kings of Sport Network featuring myself and Brent Chittenden, where we talk about kung fu movies. So far, we've talked about Black Dynamite and Bloodsport. It's crazy. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. $5 gets you in the door, Stephanie Chase. $5, man, for over 300 hours of audio and video. Again, it's a labor of love. Try it out for a month because we're at the beginning of October now. Try it out for a month. If you like what we're doing, stick around. If not, hey, no harm, no foul, baby. We appreciate you checking us out. The last thing I will promote besides the Kings of Sport, hit us up on YouTube too. Subscribe to the YouTube channel since y'all are already on YouTube. The last thing I will promote is what Steph mentioned first. That is the Nubian Wrestling Advocates over at Post Wrestling. Again, it's me, Chris, Ray, Andrew Thompson, and sometimes a guest talking about the world of pro wrestling from the perspective of Black journalists, Black fans, Black media members, and occasionally Black talent. Like Prince Nana has been on the show. We had a couple folks come on the show. So it's a fun show that we do once a month over on Post. Check it out, man. Like I said, we go long, but we go strong too. So Phil Lindsay's been on the show, who should not be unfamiliar to folks here at Fightful. Righteous Reg has been on the show. Righteous Reg did the theme song for the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, which is one of the greatest theme songs in the history of pro wrestling shows. So shout out to Phil, Reg, Rich Fan's been on the show, man. So if y'all enjoyed this little snippet of me and Steph talking about all things pro wrestling, especially the Queen Nia Jax, check out the NWA. Like, this isn't even 1/7 of what you're going to get every month at Post Wrestling because we go long, but like I said, we go strong. For me personally, at in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. And hey, if you like high school football, I'll be doing a game tonight at 7 o'clock, NNPSTV.com. Like, if anybody cares about high school football, that's where I'll be, Steph.
Yeah, everyone, go check out Kings of Sport. Check out the NWA podcast. The most recent episode, still relevant. We talked about Bad Blood. We talked about everything that's going on in AEW and all great stuff like that. So
my favorite thing, Steph. My favorite thing, and this is why I love you so much, because you're always game. Like, we were starting to wrap up the show, and I don't know who it was. I think it might have been Chris or me set you up for cleared the lane, gave you the runway to talk about Saraya. And then Steph was like, I'm here. I'm locked in, fam. I'm going to go like 7, 8, 9 minutes on what's going on with Saraya on these streets. Yeah. And she was Steph is good people, man. Y'all follow Steph, support her, whatever thing she does, man. But check out that episode of NWA because she was amazing.
When's the next episode out?
The next episode. So we do it on the third Sunday of every month. So not this Sunday that's coming up, but the following Sunday, which I believe it's, and here's the thing. Ray is the producer, so he's the one that keeps all this in line, but I believe it's the Sunday after next. And it's, again, we usually go live at 8-ish. You know, we do run on CPT, Chase People Time. so that's a joke from the podcast, if you caught it, folks. But yeah, we usually go from about 8 until 2 in the morning. So
yeah.
Sunday nights post-wrestling, grab you a drink, grab you a snack. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, pour you a glass of Terramana, and hang out with your boys.
I'll be tuning in for sure because I assume we'll talk about Bad Blood, probably Wrestle Dream. Yes. We got MVP and Shelton in AEW now. There will be a lot to talk about.
You got a new TV deal on these streets, Steph?
New TV deal? Yeah, it came. It finally was delivered.
Finally.
It's just so funny. 5-year anniversary, and they finally announced the TV deal that we've all been waiting for. But
like 2 years. TK, God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, Nate. Thank you, everyone that watched. Everyone, enjoy Bad Blood this weekend on Saturday. I will be watching, and my next prediction show is going to be next week for AEW Wrestle Dream. So join me for that. If you guys want to follow me, I'm on X, Twitter, and Stephanie M. Chase. I've got my YouTube channel, Stephanie Chase Wrestling, where I review Dynamite live. That's going to happen tomorrow at around this time, about 24 hours. I'll be live on YouTube talking about AEW Dynamite. If you want to join me and tell me what you thought of the 5th anniversary show, you can head over to my Substack where I'm Stephanie Chase, and I wrote about 5 years of AEW Dynamite, a little bit of a nostalgia piece and all the great things that happened, such as the greatest moment of all time, Nate, when Sting came to AEW, when we got the Stinger back. So yeah, go check that out. Thank you once again, Nate. Thank you, everyone. And I will catch you next time. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.